the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Working night shift is difficult for many reasons. Many years ago, at the place of employment, I filled in for about 3 weeks on night shift for people who took their vacation time in the summer. Now, our bodies usually get used to a rhythm of working in the day and sleeping at night. But on night shift, the night shift I worked on, you worked 11 at night to 8 in the morning. You did that Monday through Friday. And then the weekend hit, and you had to reverse. For Saturday and Sunday, the weekend was over, and Monday started, and you had to flip again. Just when your body was getting used to the normal. All I can say is I'm glad I only did it for 3 weeks. Now I have a very good reason for talking about waking and sleeping. That's due to the fact that in our epistle lesson, Romans 13, the Apostle Paul charges Christian believers to wake up. The waking he is referring to is not a physical waking, but a metaphorical use of the word, which means we need to be alert spiritually and prepared for the coming of Christ. The season of Advent focuses on this dual comings, that Christ has already come, God became flesh and dwelt among us, but he's coming a second time in great glory to judge the living and the dead. So this morning I want to consider waking up to God's call under 2 points. First, rise up and get out of bed. Secondly, get the right kind of clothes on. Romans 13:11 says this, "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed." The Greek word awaken is very direct. It means getting from a lying down position to a prone position. Rise up, get out of bed. That's the message behind awaken. Just as getting out of bed is an important and necessary first step in the process of starting a new day, I know, there's that thing called the snooze button. But we need to get out and get out of bed. This is a call, metaphorically, for us to really continue to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'll give you a little lesson in church history. The church fathers compared us going to sleep as a picture of death. We go down to sleep. The morning comes. That's a picture of the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection. So, we need to get out of bed. We are commanded by Almighty God to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven for the salvation of sinners. The Apostle Paul uses very urgent language in verse 11, the literal rendering, which means it's high time to awaken out of sleep. High time is the language of urgency. Quick, hurry up. We've got to get a move on. Let's get the lead out. Don't dilly-dally. Get up. Growing up in the Benner household, being on time, being punctual, was a very high priority in the list of virtues that you needed to practice. And who did I learn this from? But Mom and Dad. It didn't matter how much frantic energy it took you to be on time, you had to hit the mark. It's almost as bad coming late to church as if you hadn't come at all. Well, that's all right. I'd rather you be here than be a little late than not at all. But for my mother and father, you had to be there on time. There were 7 miles between where I lived and where I went to church. And in 18 years of going with my mom and dad to church, there was only one time we were late. And that was the time my dad had a flat tire. And actually, it's more accurate to say Dad was late, because the rest of us were picked up by a fellow church member and taken to church, and we were on time. But he was late. So now you know the rest of the story, how important it was for us to be on time. Well, golly, I have a high standard to live up to. Soon after, my father pulled over, and he got his tire fixed, but we were on time. Well, Paul uses a similar language. It's high time for us to wake up, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The Apostle Paul gives us the reason for this urgency. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Just picture that time. Depends on the time of the year, but right now, somewhere between 5:30 and 6, the night's over. The sun is beginning to rise. For ancient people, daylight means work time. Get up. That was their alarm clock. This raises the question, what aspect of our salvation is Paul talking about here? For anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has passed from death into life. We're already heirs of eternal life. Paul tells us in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. While the Christian believer presently enjoys the gift of eternal life and being justified before God through the work of Jesus Christ, we have not yet received final salvation. While we're forgiven of our sins, we still struggle with the remnants of our sinful nature and all the other consequences of sin, including our physical ailments and eventually our physical death. And the fact that we live in an environment, this earth, which just like us, is getting older and older. And by this point, I think we can safely say earth is reeling and groaning just as we do. But we look forward to the day of final salvation at Christ's second advent when everything will be made new. We will no longer sin. We will have resurrected bodies and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And we will get along with one another because of our final and total redemption of body and soul. But with the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's kingdom has just begun. It's not completed, but there's an inbreaking of God's kingdom. Jesus Christ is the Messiah and Savior of the world, and because he has come, the hour of God's kingdom has arrived. The hour of God's salvation and redemption has come. And yet we look forward to the finality of God's kingdom. And for that reason, we need to be alert. We need to wake up. Because Christ's coming is near. It could happen at any moment. Our final salvation is truly closer than when we first believed. So point number one, wake up. Be alert. Secondly, we're not only to discern the time to wake up, but we also need to put on the right kind of clothing. That's step number two. Get out of bed, get the pajamas off, and get on the work clothes of the day. We're told to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. This is St. Paul's way of saying, say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Turn away from what is evil and do what is righteous, just, and holy. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 13:13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. The first four sins in that verse kind of go as a package. Carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, and sensuality. It's a lifestyle of someone who throws caution to the wind and throws off proper moral restraints. They go wild and they have a party spirit. They drink too much and they cast off self-control. Paul was saying this behavior is acting like you're still a child of the darkness and the night. But we as Christians need to live as children of the day and children of the light. But before I move on to speak more directly about the armor of light, let me say about a little bit more about the two sins at the tail end of that verse, and that is strife and jealousy. These two sins seem to us to be a very different breed than the first four mentioned, but they're still very harmful. The things that tie all these sins together is, again, a lack of restraint and sinful self-will instead of following God's will. The drunken man's sin is obvious and embarrassing because he stumbles about, he talks loud, and he has a foul mouth. The Greek word for strife means one who has a contentious disposition, one who wants a fight and an altercation. One who is contentious is someone who goes into a discussion wanting the last word. He wants to win the argument. He doesn't care so much what the topic is. He's going to push your nose in the mud and win the fight. They have lots of weapons to do this. One of them, unfortunately, that I've heard, what do you know? A way to dig in, to get the last word, to humiliate you, to insult you. We know someone who is drunk is out of control, but so is the person who is strifeful, who is contentious, and who is jealous. They exalt themselves while they put down others. All of these things are part of the works of darkness, and we need to cast them off like dirty clothing. We need to watch ourselves if we feel like we have to have the last word in a discussion. We must avoid name-calling and put-downs. For those habits, if we let ourselves get involved with them, is sinful strife, and it's acting like we're children of the night. And so we need to avoid jealousy and strife. Jealousy is being not being grateful for the gifts and opportunities that God gives to us and to others. The sinful nature is bent on not seeing the blessings that we do have and being forever focused and sour about what we don't have. We can wage war against jealousy by thanking God for the blessings that we do have and are able to partake of. And we need to thank God for those good gifts and thank God for the gifts that He's given to others. These warnings are a call for us to walk away from not only outward sins, but inward sins, sins of the heart. And so Paul summed it up by saying we should clothe ourselves with Christ. Christ is the essence of righteousness. He gives righteousness to all those who believe in Him as Lord and Savior, which He has purchased for us. But He has also given us the Holy Spirit that we may walk in the paths of righteousness, that we may walk in the pathway of self-restraint, of self-control, of thankfulness. It isn't easy holding your tongue. It's not easy maintaining self-control, especially when you're being insulted. It's hard to live chaste and pure with your body. It's hard to refrain from grumbling and to give thanks to God. But that's what He's called us to do. It's our duty to cast off these sinful ways and to put on the armor of light, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our passage closes with these words, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." This is exactly what our first parents did. They made provision. They heard the lie of Satan. When Satan said to them, "Has God really said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" They gave in to Satan's temptations. They gave his words a second thought and forgot about what God said. They doubted God's faithfulness and truthfulness. The moment we toy with the idea of committing a sin, we've already crossed the line. we've given sin a forethought, a second thought. In the collect for this season of Advent, we ask God for grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We need God's grace and his enabling power in order to do this. We cannot make progress in our Christian life and our faith in Christ in our own strength. And so we need to pray for God's grace to put off sin and to put on the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul appeals to us in language rich in imagery, as common to us as getting out of bed and getting dressed. He is talking about this reality of being aware, of being conscious that Christ is King and that he's coming again. And so our celebration of Advent should be an urgent call to have this greater awareness of Christ's incarnation and his glorious return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, grant that we may truly hear your holy word and be molded and conformed to your will. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may yield to you and submit to your holy will and pleasure. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.